Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You will drain it.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
Oh, I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I have a question for you, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Were you silent or were you silenced?
The latter. I know the answer the to latter. That. It's the latter.
The latter. Well, that's from the teaser, so I don't have the actual clip, but in the actual episode
she or the interview, the latter. She says,
the latter.
The latter. The latter. The latter. It was the latter.
Oprah not only proving she is the best in the business, but promoting, I mean, single-handedly turning Discovery Plus into a them in one night.
I mean, I do feel like, though, every time we get an Oprah moment, like, that's for the public, aka not, like, pay-gated by a streaming app, everyone's like, Apple Plus Oprah, Discovery Plus Oprah. But, like, I don't know if that many people go to those places, even though we are obviously obsessed with Oprah and we love her work, you know? But mm-hmm. 60 Minutes CBS Oprah is the capital T Oprah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they wish they could afford that Oprah on a weekly basis because that is the Oprah that is for the people, you know?
Yeah, and the more I thought about it, there were those rumors, those reports that, like, someone got paid $7 million. Where did the $7 million go?
They start off the show by saying they are not getting paid for this. Okay. Megan and Harry are not getting paid for this. Okay. No mention of, like, they're getting paid but it's going to charity, or no, just where they're not getting paid. But we had read in the paper that they paid $7 million for this interview. Where
did they pay
that
Oprah
money go?
Did Oprah make the $7 million, or did Oprah's company make the $7 million? Because if
somebody
this is...
made $7 million, but it wasn't Megan and Harry, so who was it?
I'm willing to believe that it was Oprah who made the $7 million, or Oprah's company. It was Harpo. It was Discovery Plus.
I mean,
because
who
that's
knows?
where her Sunday sit downs are going to be. They're going to be Discovery Plus exclusives.
I know, and you are so smug as a subscriber. You're so smug.
I was on that train early.
Yeah. Well, now instead of just watching hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of House Hunters, you can watch also Oprah.
I watched so much House Hunters yesterday. It's such a good white noise. So we're not going to talk about
you're
this. Yeah,
you're in more ways than one.
No, it's true. It was such a...
Good interview.
It's also very themmy. We're not going to talk about it here. We could talk about it for an hour, and we probably will on our Patreon. Patreon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're going to do that. If you want to hear us do that, come to our Patreon. We have other breaking news to talk about, which just pales in comparison to Harry and Meghan. Everything pales in comparison to that interview. Everything. Especially the Grammy nominees.
I know.
Are we boycotting?
The Grammys? No. What do they do?
I don't know. They shut out The Weeknd. They said, you know what? We're not going to nominate you if you perform at the Super Bowl.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Ladies and gentlemen. The Weeknd.
I'm not boycotting the Grammy. I mean, I would be boycotting them because they didn't nominate Blinding Lights for a Grammy or whatever.
I mean, I guess you could boycott them just because they're boring.
I was going to say, I'll boycott them by accident by just forgetting they're on. Like, oops, I boycotted, you know?
We do always say, though, the Grammys are one of the best award shows simply because they have performances. Like, they give out 2 awards every night.
Well, they're good because they just go performance to performance to performance because they mm-hmm. have to get on these performances. But they release this list, and I have to say, some of the most Grammy-ish performers. I mean, it might as well be What's-Her-Face 10 times. What's-Her-Face. Oh, my God. The most Grammy performer. The woman with the guitar. She's got a guitar.
Oh, not Colby Calais, but the other one.
No, she's...
Not Tori Kelly.
Yes, Tori Kelly.
Oh, it is Tori Kelly.
It's Tori Kelly. Okay. Sorry.
Tori Kelly, okay.
Hey, it's Tori Kelly, and I'm back.
Tori Kelly is not among them.
Right, which is shocking, because usually it's Tori Kelly 15 times. Instead, we have some Grammy beloved artists like Haim and, you know, Maren Morris, I would say, is one of them. Chris Martin is one of them. Brandi Carlile, who I love, is one of them. Brittany Howard, I would say, is one of them. These are like Grammy artists. You have people who were actually genuinely big this year. Cardi B, Dua Lipa, Megan Thee Stallion. Who else was big this year? Post Malone, I guess, was big this year.
BTS
was huge always. Billie Eilish is always huge. Taylor Swift was huge this year. But, you know, you also have, like, John Mayer.
He's just always around.
The Who's, the kind of, like, wild cards, I would say, are Doja Cat, Roddy Ricch, Mickey Guyton, who was big this year, but also country artist that we talked about, DaBaby and Lil Baby as a 1-2 punch.
They're probably going to do their song that they released together, I bet.
Right. Oh, I bet. Will I watch it? Probably. I'll have it on. Seems interesting. Is that this weekend, next weekend? I don't know. Next weekend.
If anything, award shows, even though, yes, ratings are plummeting during the pandemic especially, but, like, award shows during COVID are interesting for the, like, how are they going to do it factor? You know, like, how are they going to do this thing? I'm intrigued by that. Like, what will it look like? What will it sound like? How will it be hosted? How many people will be in a room together? What will be pre-recorded?
You know, like, so shameless. Yeah, we're like obsessed with that. The aesthetic and the production of the Grammys is of interest, of course.
It's like, will it be Demi Lovato in a room surrounded by monitors, like the architect in The Matrix? Like, maybe. I don't know. Could be. I want to see that.
It's funny making All of America watch commercials last night. That was a real phenomenon. It's like everyone sitting down and watching, like, this interview with Oprah had to watch commercials. And they were like, everyone was like, what? This is what commercials are now?
Nurtec ODT, I have felt such relief. I am able to go about my day as if nothing happened. Nurtec is the...
I just about died during that Airbnb ad that looked like it was like an in memoriam for dead gay people
that?
Who went on vacation. Did you see that? It was like showing all these clips of, like, I mean, I was making assumptions, but it looked like a group of gay best friends.
Yeah.
And it looked like when I went to an Airbnb with my gay friends.
And we all died.
And it's like showing, and then, like, everyone dies because it's like fading, and it was playing Forever Young? Forever I want to be, young. But like,
right. It's
a
like, remember
sad,
when we used to be,
scary cover.
Remember when we used to be young and go to Airbnbs together, but we all died.
That's what it seemed like. And it was like, oh, the host made it possible or something. And then apart from that, it was just pharmacy ads. Did you see the thread of just pharmacy ads? You said, we made all of America watch commercials. We made all of Britain watch commercials.
I know. And they were like, this is what ads are like. It's like Lunesta for whatever. It's like, oh, yes, that is literally what any program here. That's the only people that can place ads anymore are obscure pharmaceutical companies.
There was a British political podcast that Josh listens to that he was listening to this morning, and their expert claims that the royal family will not say one thing about this. They will not release a statement at all. That was interesting. I believe that.
I saw a tweet that had a Photoshop of Queen Elizabeth on in a YouTube video, and it said, time to come clean. And I was like, yes, American sensibility mixed with British. Never going to happen. I love that.
I just love that.
She did release a statement. Well, again, we'll talk about this on Patreon, but she did release a statement preemptively before this of calling for unity. Why can't the boys just get along?
Yeah, she could have called for that a couple of years ago. But, you know, speaking of music and Europe, although I guess maybe not Europe anymore. Didn't they leave? Brexit baby. Eurovision is actually happening this year. They're doing it in Rotterdam, which is where it should have been last year, which is where Lindsay and I really wanted to go last year, but they're doing it audience free.
I know. So I think we're going to have to just go next year to wherever it is next year. Right. We're going to miss. It sucks because I really did want to go to Amsterdam, which is near Rotterdam, but it's okay. We're going to have to skip this year. We thought we were going to have to skip this year anyways, but Eurovision is coming. I'm happy they're getting it together. They had literally a full year to figure it out, and they apparently have figured it out.
It seems like it. So they said they're doing it in the same arena they were going to do it in Rotterdam, but they're doing it without an audience. They said a normal Eurovision scenario A was ruled out, and attention has turned to scenario B, which includes all of the acts' appearance at Rotterdam's Ahoy Arena. So it's going to be in the arena. There just won't be a full audience. I think there might be some people in there, but there's going to be like the live TV event, the live voting. There are going to be those weird hosts and judges. It's going
to
be great.
But to be fair, Eurovision already kind of works audience-less. I mean, there is an audience and it's fun for them, but I mean, as far as like viewers at home, don't worry, I'll have a Eurovision party, and like by then, hopefully, Hopefully.
And I do think
it'll be similar.
Most notable performer now, again, we're probably going to talk about this at length in a couple of months when it's actually happening, but
this is exciting because San Marino.
This is exciting.
This is exciting because San Marino, if you watch Eurovision, you know they're like the cheesiest, most underdoggy, just in existence. People are like, San Marino, what is that? First of all, people don't really even know they exist. And in Eurovision, they always send a bald guy in a suit who sings like a song that's like Miss the Wiggles, you know, like it's always very confusing. This year, they have a song from a singer or a group called Senhit. I think it's a singer. Yeah, it's a guy.
Singer. Senhit. Yeah, it's Senhit. A woman.
No, it's a woman.
Yeah, it's a woman. International Women's Day, Lindsay. Come on, sorry, don't try to erase
a
woman. Her.
I'm sorry. She has a Senhit. I think she actually was in Eurovision before because I recognize her name from 2011. Yes. Yeah, okay.
She was in Eurovision in 2011. Her song was not good in 2011. It is phenomenal this year. It's phenomenal this year. And it was phenomenal last year, too.
But what's making news is that her song features Flo Rida. How Flo Rida got to Eurovision, we don't know. Literally,
we're gonna find out.
We sent our best and brightest. They said we need somebody from America. We said, how about Florida? Florida, our favorite.
Florida.
No, but I mean, like, we sent Florida. Yeah, essentially, we sent our biggest representative. If we were to do Eurovision, it'd have to be states, and we sent Florida to. Mm-hmm. We sent him to San Marino.
And the song is great. He has just like, I mean, it's just like a normal radio pop song. Senhit sings, and then there is a Flo Rida verse, and then it's back to Senhit. And I was looking up the Eurovision rules because they do change the Eurovision rules pretty frequently. That's one of their things. It's like sometimes they have to be in English, sometimes it's like no English. Like the number of performers on stage, they change things a lot. It's very malleable, the rules. So I was like, what are the rules when it comes to bringing in guest performers? And like, I read all of the rules this morning. I was on the Eurovision website.
Oh, you read all of the rules to Eurovision this morning?
I read the whole rules page. I read the full rules page.
Aren't you so lucky that I wake up later than you so that you can wake up early and read all the rules to Eurovision? Yeah, and what did you learn?
I'm so lucky. I'm very lucky to be with you, keeping me by my shadow. But the Eurovision rules do not mention guests. They mention number of people on stage. Right. And they also say
that had a big role in Eurovision, the movie on Netflix.
You can only have six people on stage, and you can only have, and one person can only do one country. You know, like,
okay, so we will be paying attention to Eurovision. I wouldn't say you're going to get updates every week, but you will be getting a Eurovision spectacular event eventually.
Senhit's pretty interesting. I watched a few interviews with her today. She's Italian, has competed for San Marino twice, is just a professional singer, has released a few albums, and did some touring work for some musicals, like Europe tours of The Lion King and Fame and Hair.
Mm.
But this made me think about San Marino because I was like, you know what? Uh-oh. I'm 30 years old, so like I should know more about San Marino. I don't even know where San Marino is. That was something I had to Lindsay, that was something I had to admit to myself this morning.
Are you going to quiz me on this?
Well, very quickly, because I didn't know and I thought it might be interesting. And I'm being as open as I can be right now. I didn't know where San Marino was until about 2 hours
ago. I would be lying to you if I didn't get awareness of San Marino when I started watching Eurovision. I didn't have a huge awareness of San Marino before Eurovision introduced me to San Marino.
The only things I knew about San Marino were that it was a very tiny country and that it was in the middle of another country. But I wasn't 100%
you didn't know which country it was.
Which country it was in the middle of. So let me ask you some questions. It is. These are some fun facts about San Marino, which, according to Wikipedia, has one of the lowest unemployment rates in Europe.
Uh-huh.
No national
is
debt.
Like 12
and a budget suburbs.
Okay,
like 12
fine.
People. Yeah, 12 okay. people. So it's a micro state in southern
state.
Europe. It's completely enclosed by which country? Do you know?
Italy.
Yes.
Okay.
See, I'm an idiot. Its official language is Italian.
Yeah, I knew that.
It is the only country with more cars than people, okay? How many people live there?
As I said, 12 to 15.
12? 34,000.
Okay.
34,000!
That's pretty
only close. Only 34,000.
Sure.
And this is the last question. It's the fifth smallest country in the world. The first smallest country is Vatican City.
Uh-huh.
Vatican City is 0.2 square miles, okay?
Uh-huh.
How many square miles is San Marino?
let's say like 50 square miles.
23.6 square miles. It's teeny tiny.
That's tiny for 30,000 people.
Anyway, I just didn't know these things.
More cars. I love it. We're learning every day. No, that's why Eurovision teaches you. You look outside your own country and you learn about the places that handled the pandemic better that are in other countries.
I know, like Australia, which we'll get to. So let's talk about Zoe Sug. Sug? Sug. Is it Sug or Sug?
I don't know. You're supposed to tell me. And her boyfriend, Alfie Days. These are YouTube people.
Two YouTube people. And they are now expecting a child together.
Hello, everybody. A bit of a different vid today. I was going to vlog. And then I was like, wait. Good morning, everybody. I am vlogging today because, I mean, I don't know if I really have a lot going on, but... Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday. It's past the bank holiday weekend.
You may have seen from the title of this video, Alfie and I have something super exciting that we want to share with you. We are having a baby.
This is throwing a lot of Gen Zers for a loop, I think, because whenever YouTubers who I think are a little bit older than them sometimes.
Yeah, they're millennials, yeah.
Have kids, like their fave YouTubers that they watch, they all like kind of have little breakdowns, which I don't blame them. It's like when Katy Perry had a kid, I was like, oh God. You know what I mean? Like it's like your peer, but in a way, because you watch them at such an intimate thing and you've been watching them for so long, you know?
Oh good. She has been YouTubing since 2009. She's been YouTubing for 12 years.
Right, and she's only how many years old? So it's 30. Right. She's been
since she was 18. Since she was 18.
Yeah.
So she grew up on the platform. She's been in a lot of trouble on the platform before. The trouble she's been in before are things like
These are like troubles that's like kid like stuff that happens to teenagers. Like she drove
her
car. She filmed
a video. She made a video while driving, and so many people, because she had millions of followers, were like outraged because it was parents being mad that this girl was driving her car while filming a YouTube video, which is very dangerous. But her, she
I know,
has
but of all things to get
point.
In trouble about on YouTube, driving while taping, I'm like, it's but okay, this, fine.
But this, even at this point in her life, she had a spokesperson, and the spokesperson had to reach out to like the Mirror and the Mail and say things like this, quote, Zoe is an extremely careful and conscientious driver. At the time of filming, she was in mostly stationary traffic. She takes road safety very seriously and would never do anything to deliberately counteract this. Okay. Then she got in trouble a few years later because she wrote the fastest selling novel in, I think, British history. Called Girl Online in 2014, and everyone got mad when they found out she hired a ghostwriter. So that was another scandal that
didn't
she was
also
involved
she
in.
Did a sex toy post and everybody was like, "How dare
Just
you?"
Now.
Okay,
because again, she's growing up. This is right before the pregnancy announcement. She's growing up, and like
her followers, by Zoella on YouTube.
Zoella, yeah, okay, Zoella, and people got mad that she and Alfie were like promoting sex toys on their social media. It was like best sex toys to spice up your sex life. Yeah.
How do you guys think they got the baby? Just wondering if you have thought about that.
Well, this is right before the baby. This is right before
the
baby.
So they didn't know that they were having sex.
Yeah. They could have just, it was easy to assume that it was a very chaste, sexless
relationship. Sure. And then these two now we know promoted sex toys and got pregnant. So, wow. Time moves. Time.
This was a who that came up that I didn't even recognize. Like every once in a while, like a YouTuber, specifically YouTubers, will pop up and you'll say, "Oh, I've seen them on my algorithm. I've never seen this person. This is
no,
like
she's
this
never
must be
come
very
up.
Bubbly, you know?
She's not in my sphere. My sphere is mostly Trisha Paytas, but she's not in it.
Mm-hmm.
All my recommended videos are fucking Trisha Paytas. I'm like, what have I done? But I'm also like, click, click, click. What have I done?
What have I done?
Click, click, click. What have I done?
What have I done? Who's next on this hellish list today?
Another two names I don't know and therefore sound hilarious to me. Here's the headline. Bisexual former Bachelor star Brooke Blurton develops close friendship with AFL player Jed Buse while romancing singer G Flip. First of all, we've got three names here. It's hard to pick them out, but one is Brooke Blurton. The other is Jed Buse. And the third is G Flip. Then you have Bisexual, which refers to Brooke, who is also a Bachelor star. Then you have AFL, which, if this is Australia, I'm assuming it's Australia Footballer League, which is soccer there, is. FYI. Mm-hmm. And singer G Flip.
Which is soccer there, FYI. The listeners are like, ah, yes, adjusting their notes.
Is G Flip a woman? Sorry, because Brooke is bisexual, so I assume they're saying she's dating a man and a woman, right? So G Flip has to identify as a woman.
Right. The tabloids love
Georgia.
The tabloids love bisexual
Flippo.
Bisexual content. Yes.
And guess where they were together? They went to the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras together on Saturday to see Rita Ora perform.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Love that.
But this is very much like bisexual panic, this headline. It's like, can you believe that this bisexual has a girlfriend and is also like talking to a hunky man?
Yeah.
Oh my God, they can't handle it.
I just love, I don't really care about what this is about. I just love the alliteration. I just want to say bisexual,
it's a beautiful
former
headline.
Bachelor star Brooke Blurton. Bisexual, this is, bachelor Brooke Blurton.
Well, we know that this headline is definitely going to be nominated at the Whomies next year, for sure.
I know. Well, thank God I have my pop filter. So when you hear me say bisexual bachelor star Brooke Blurton, you're hopefully not hearing the, what do you call it? The pla 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 pla. It's a word
the
for
pops.
It. But there's a name of it. It's called like plasma.
Oh, I didn't know it had a name. There's obviously, there are three people we don't have to get into here, but I did want to know more about Brooke Blurton because she is a Bachelor star. So I was like, I'm assuming she's a Bachelor Australia star. And yes, she was a Bachelor Australia star. She was a participant on the sixth season or something, but she was in the final three of her season. And apparently...
It's called a plosive. Continue.
It's a plosive. Okay, a plosive. Yeah. Right. I guess I did know that word.
Mm-hmm, you did. It sounds the way that it is. It's a word
exactly.
that means a thing
that
you sound that
you
when
that?
You say it. Sure. Yeah, totally, totally. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we were talking about
fine.
Bisexual Bachelor star Brooke Blurton.
Right. We were talking about bisexual former Bachelor star Brooke Blurton developing a close friendship with AFL player Jed Buse while romancing singer G Flip. So
your plosives are going to ruin the recording.
So she was in the final three on her Bachelor season, and she apparently famously left because she just straight up said, I'm not in love with the Bachelor.
But
she said, I don't love Nick.
A few times, really. I think everything on the Bachelor that has happened, you know, I feel like that's happened. Maybe not in Australia, but it's definitely happened here, I feel like. She was a contestant. She just said, I'm not into this.
She said, I'm not into this. And she left, which apparently, you know, raised eyebrows. People were shocked by this, especially because she was in the final three. It wasn't like it was early on in the show.
Right.
And, you know, she didn't come out like after. She was openly bisexual on her season of The Bachelor.
Love that.
I'm sure that added to her intrigue. Moving on. What's going on with Francesca Packer? Why do I recognize this name?
Because we talked about her. A few times she is a common heiress. Speaking of Australia, she's a common Australian heiress, UK heiress. I always forget. Was James Packer
Australia.
Or UK-ian? James Packer, who briefly UK-ian. Came into our lives when he dated Mariah Carey. Actually engaged her. And then I guess they never had sex and then never got married because she was like, this guy sucks. But he did take her on a lot of boats, which I think we all appreciated. I'm sure she appreciated. And this is his niece, Francesca Packer, who makes a lot of tabloid headlines because she kind of just like goes a lot of places, I guess. And now she's fucking her trainer, which I love. Fuck your trainer. Well, that makes it so convenient. You know, they're there. You have sex, especially during a pandemic. Who else are you seeing?
Mm-hmm. And it's also very sexy. You're being intimate already, you know.
Well, you're also just like, you bring a hot person into your life. What are you going to do? And then, so she deleted her Instagram or something 1 month after saying she was dating this guy. She's trying to keep a low profile.
Okay. But she's in the middle of drama right now.
Yeah, well, she's always in the middle of drama. Shout out to our friend Meredith Haggerty's Airmail newsletter. It's like a tongue twister. She has a Substack newsletter that's about heirs and heiresses. And this is someone who comes up a lot. Meredith wrote a little bit about how she and, remember Roxy Jasenko, who found the
PR person.
Yeah, she found the poopy on her street.
Yeah, the poopy. Yeah.
They used to be best friends, but apparently they are not best friends anymore. Although somebody did ask Roxy about it, and she was like, "I'm a working mother. Like, I don't have time for this." Or I don't know. She said something like, "As a mother of X, like, I don't have time." And it's like, you have time for a lot of things, just not this, I guess. Not this friendship. So now Francesca Packer has a new best friend. His name is Jackie Mann, and he's a hairstylist. And they lived together, and she bought him a really expensive dog. So everyone's saying, oh, well, he's replaced Roxy Jasenko, and she bought him a $9,000 cavoodle, which I don't even know what kind of fucking dog that is. A cavoodle?
Cavoodle?
Like King Charles Caviar. Caviar.
Cavalier.
Cavalier poodle.
Oh, that sounds ugly. Is that rude of me to say?
In recent weeks, the pair have become inseparable, popping up in each other's Instagram accounts, arriving, this before she deleted it, arriving arm-in-arm at Mimi's restaurant in Coogee for their Melbourne Cup soiree, and even seeing Westfield Bondi Junction splashing $9,000 on a cavoodle puppy they co-parent together. That is the most Australian paragraph I've ever seen in my life.
They look a lot like Labradoodles.
Oh, man, sorry.
They're very cute. They're extremely cute. This dog looks just like... I'm sorry. You're hung up on this. I'm hung up on the Cavapoo. Cavapoo in other places.
$9,000.
They look expensive. They're one of those dogs that just, like, looks like mommy and daddy have money.
Apparently,
you know?
This was before she was fucking the Pilates instructor. This was when they were living together in Packer Bartham's sub penthouse in Darlinghurst Horizon Building.
Okay.
What is it about Roxy Jasenko that irritates so many people? Surely not that the reality TV star and Sydney PR queen is smart and successful.
So we have next Back to America. Back to America. God, I think we're back in America for the rest of the show until we go to Rita, right? I think we just stay at... No, we go to Germany for a second. Okay. Well, let's... A quick stopover in Germany, but for now we are in America. What's more American than Peloton ads, than Peloton instructors getting so famous that they get People magazine exclusives?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This isn't even the woman who was the one who like got the vaccine because she was, and then everybody was like, "How dare this Peloton instructor get the vaccine or whatever?" This was early vaccine. This was like a month ago. This is a different woman, and it's not even the guy that everyone talks about on Twitter, who's Cody Rigsby. I know his name because it sounds like a porn name.
I will also be commenting on a certain individual, a certain ex-boyfriend that was dragged in this documentary. I won't be naming names, but I have also been telling you that he's trash. I've also been telling you that he wasn't the most talented person in his band. And, sir.
This is a different Peloton person.
This is an instructor named Robin Arzon, and she is not only a Peloton instructor,
She's a VP.
A VP at Peloton. Right. She's high up at Peloton.
Saddle in 3, 2, 1. Take it in, take it off. Woo! Remember when we invited discomfort into the house?
Yeah, this is bull right here.
And I think that maybe explains, and I think that's maybe like one of the reasons this is a little more glossy magazine, because she is so high up at Peloton, she probably has the Peloton PR army behind her, you know? Like, they're probably promoting her as this lifestyle person because she is this, like, powerful woman in business.
She is a woman who was born in Philadelphia to a Cuban refugee mother and a Puerto Rican father. Her mother is a doctor who taught herself English by watching PBS. Yes, I'm reading this. Her father is an attorney and a former law professor. And I will say the responses is people who do Peloton do love this woman.
Yeah, they
and
love
And Peloton
her.
Themselves is like, yes, we're known for that, you know, annoying ad where the man gave the woman the Peloton, and also for people doing biking in their an expensive bike in their home, but also we do have like a lot of inspiring people who work here or whatever, so I get that too, like if you're talking about like PR, it makes sense to me, you know.
But
she's an ultra marathon runner too, crazy.
Yeah, I know. She's just like an athlete. She's just like one of those people who just like looking at her exhausts me. It's like, oh my God, you do so much.
I know. She really does.
She's like running, but she's also holding dumbbells and she's also on a bike. It's like, oh my God.
Well, when teaching fitness is your job, the thing is like you do the fitness and you teach it at the same time. Whenever I do Peloton stuff, not that I have a bike, but I sometimes do their running stuff, I'm always like dying at how they talk and exercise at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. I get that that's a thing that you build, but I'm like, how is your brain even working? I can't even stand and do this podcast at the same time. I get like winded or tired.
I don't know. And that's what they always say about running. It's like, you want to run, you want to jog at a pace where you can still have a conversation. It's like, I'm never going to get there.
Yeah, there's no pace at which I can have a conversation. There. Sorry. No, I'm never talking while I'm moving.
I've never done I've never done a spin class, Peloton, SoulCycle. Like, I've never done that. Do you think I'd like that?
Or I think you would like it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. You found this. This made me want to curl up into a ball and under the sand and bury myself at her wedding to her husband.
Well,
Drew
we didn't
Butler,
even say, we didn't even say what she got the people exclusive for. She had a kid. It's like, that's interesting. We didn't even say. It's like, she had a kid. She got a people exclusive.
She had a kid. The kid's name is Athena Amelia. The kid's very cute. She got exclusive photos. They're very good. The way in is because, oh my God, a Peloton instructor got people exclusive photos. The pandemic really has changed our concept of celebrity. But they are actually a pretty interesting couple, mainly because they're just kind of like rich startup-y people. So like, she's really just a startup-y person and he's a banker, I believe, an investment manager.
But in a way that also makes them less eligible for people exclusive, because they really are not relevant. They're just like rich people, and people doesn't tend to give that to those types of people. That seems very Page Six. To me, this seems like a very Page Six thing picked up by people because they got an exclusive photo situation that was sold to them. That was, they clearly not sold to them. They didn't, I don't even think they paid for it. I think they just got it and they were like, sure, we'll take this. Because these people just feel very Page Six to me. Like, he is an investment manager who she met at a speakeasy bar in Manhattan.
In New York.
They got married in Tulum, and they had a 4-day immersive wedding experience, which I was like, what does that even mean? Apparently what that means is exercise. You have to go to their wedding and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
A 5K.
You had to do.
On their wedding day.
A 5K on their wedding and yoga at their wedding.
No,
I'd rather
thanks.
Not.
Imagine showing up to their wedding. You're like, Robin, so good to see you. She's like, well, the tug of war is over here. We're doing planks before lunch. Lunch is like, you know, ceviche. And then we're going to run a 5K. I'd be like, bye. See ya.
Could you just like sit on the beach somewhere and just like opt out of the activity? I'm sure there were people who were opting out of the activity. You stay with grandma under the shade, you know, like that's fun.
Exactly.
The wedding does seem tough. They also like are burners, which I think is perfect. They're burners. Mm. Kind of look at them and they're like,
Burning
oh, they're
Man.
Definitely burners.
They're Burning Man people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Now.
A Peloton? Give it up for our first time ride.
All right, first ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I am.
6 a.m. Yay.
Rising with the sun.
That was totally worth it.
Let's go, Grace and Boston.
I love to do an ad for a podcast hosted by a who we have literally talked about on the show.
Love that. I love that. I absolutely love that. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. We're going to talk about a new podcast called Jocular, hosted by none other than ER Fightmaster, Tien Tran, and Katie Kershaw. They're comedians, they're writers, they're best friends, and they're obsessed with women's sports. Like a lot of you, I'm sure. They're exploring all things queer, trans, and women forward in the world of sports. And in every episode, they're going to cover the latest games, they're going to debate pressing issues, and they're going to review how they're really horny for basically everyone in the game. You know, you love to see it. Just be honest about it.
You literally love to see it. Friends and experts will join to share their takes on sports ranging from women's basketball to soccer to power slapping.
So tune in every Friday for new episodes of Jocular on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts right now. Mothers. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
up. And we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
of
that.
Their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews. But works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories in
Any
the family.
Good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. It helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
mother. All mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase. Moving on, Christine from Selling Sunset hates her co-stars. Another great American story.
Well, the great the conspiracy theorist in me says this is like promo for next season, because they still haven't even confirmed if they're shooting the next season of Selling Sunset. Or maybe they did, but like there's no information about when it's coming out, and people are kind of like, where the fuck is this show? Like, it was such a phenomenon so briefly, so long ago, and it's like, we need some information about if it's coming back, when it's coming back, who's coming back, or whatever. And I think she is just trying to keep the like drama alive, because somehow she got pregnant. I mean, I know how, but you know what I'm saying? She got pregnant, and she did a TikTok, which was really funny, to Chris Brown's Loyal. And of course, you know that song. And to the sound of that song, she checked the likes on her post about being pregnant, and her co-stars had not liked the post. Interesting. Chriselle, yes, sir, to Mr. El Moussa, and Mary Fitzgerald, who is, they did not like her pregnancy announcement, and she called them out, then hashtagged it. Lifestyle, trending, explore, viral, comedy for you, Selling Sunset, friendship test.
Christine is the friend you follow on Instagram who you mute stories and
I
posts.
I know. So how are you supposed to see this post?
It's not, I think what Christine has to realize, it's not that people saw it and chose not to like it. It's that they never saw it.
I know.
You know, they
sometimes
just
I want to tell people I know that. It's like, it's not that I didn't like it. It's that I didn't see it. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. But when you start on your muting journey, you have to be aware that is the consequence, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes people notice when you mute them. Okay. Sometimes they notice, and it makes for awkward conversations. Okay.
Yeah.
Am I saying this out of experience? Maybe.
Yes, clearly.
I'm just saying, when you mute people, be prepared to suffer the consequences of muting those people.
Yeah. You got to say things like, I'm not really on Instagram that much, so. Which, hey, maybe it's true, and I'd say good for you.
I'm not.
See, that's you're starting to say that from your perspective.
I am not. But we have a nepotism alert. Sound the alarm.
We do need a nepotism alert alarm.
Nepotism alert. Is it just Nicki Minaj? Pound the alarm. Pound the alarm. Pound the
alarm. We have a new nepotism. Sound the alarm.
Nepotism alert.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus sends enthusiastic message to youngest son Charlie for his role in the Amy Poehler directed comedy drama film Moxie. So I think Julia said, yeah, and we're pointing out a new nepotism. Julia Louis-Dreyfus' son is now acting in this movie. He is now acting. He's not the lead. The lead, hilariously enough, is Patrick Schwarzenegger.
But it's actually Hadley Robinson is the actual lead.
But he's a big role in this. Sorry. He's the nepotism that's the big role in this, is Patrick Schwarzenegger. The rest
also,
are less nepotism.
I apologize. I said Hadley Robinson as though that's a name I knew or you knew or whatever. Right. she is an actor, but she's not a very famous one. She's new. She's new. Her biggest role so far is she was in Little Women, but she was like a very small role in Little Women.
If you're our age, you would say, who's in this movie? And I would say, well, Ike Barinholtz, Amy Poehler, and Marcia Gay Harden. Marcia Gay Harden plays Wanna Feel Old, the principal. Of course. No, of course.
Marcia Gay Harden plays the principal?
Yeah, Amy Poehler plays a mom, and I think Ike plays someone's dad.
Well, Amy Poehler plays the main mom, I believe.
A name that I recognize also is Lauren Tsai. Why do I recognize that name? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. You know why you recognize her?
Why? She's in Terrace House! Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. Terrace House is in this movie? Well, now I need to watch. Lauren Tsai is the iconic, how did I forget, Terrace House model slash actress who spoke fluently almost like so many languages. That was her thing. And she was in Terrace House Aloha, which was the Hawaiian Terrace House.
The Hawaiian Terrace House?
Which people think was the lesser Terrace House. But as far as I'm concerned, I'll take any Terrace House I can get at this point, which will be no more because I think they stopped doing Terrace House.
She was a contestant on Terrace House. She was in the house. She wasn't like a judge.
Wait, there's no judge of Terrace House.
Well, sorry, like the watchers, the people who were in
the
room.
No, she was in the house. She was in the house. She was in the house.
But you said you started Moxie and you didn't finish it. Is it like an Is it like a is it like a movie for kids? Like it's a movie for teens, right?
Yes, it is. It's a movie for teens. Okay. It's an Amy Poehler directed movie for children.
That's probably just like perfectly fine, right?
It's like a high school. They like start like a zine, like anonymous zine, and of course it like kind of backfires. God, Lauren Tsai is in this movie. That's so funny that I recognize her name but didn't remember. Okay, that's so me. All right, but
that's cool.
We're talking a nepotism alert, and we've got one. Charlie Hall, his dad is Brad Hall, his mom is Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Moving on, Heidi Klum promoted her brother-in-law's book with a topless photo. Well, she wasn't really topless. She was topless under her jacket.
Want to just read the headline?
It was very, Heidi Klum goes topless underneath the hot pink jacket as she promotes her brother-in-law, Bill Cowlitz's new book. Bill Cowlitz is the identical twin brother of her husband, Tom Cowlitz. Tom Cowlitz! And they were both famous because they were in that Tokyo Hotel.
They look the exact same. That is so crazy.
They look sort of like a alt Ed Westwick's, you know, that's sort of their look.
Bill has more facial piercing, so that's how I would that's how you would tell them apart. Heidi's husband has less facial piercing.
They're both alt, but Bill's a little more alt, you know.
Right.
Tom's a little more low key alt, but he's still got the, you know, the facial piercings and the what do you
and
call
fun
those
story,
in the ears? When you elongate the earlobes.
Oh. Wait, you're saying they elongated their earlobes?
No, well, he's got the piercings that are like the big holes in the ears.
Oh,
you know,
gauges.
Like, he's like, cool.
He's
gauges. Like
gauges.
Yeah. He's like, cool.
They're saying that Heidi met the brother before she met her husband while she was filming Germany's Next Top Model. And she and Tom were eventually introduced by a mutual friend in 2018. Mm-hmm. He did a stage dive and all my models had to pretend to be rock stars. Oh, it was for a challenge.
I like that. I like that.
Isn't it weird how America's Next Top Model has come up in the culture in this way that is just very much like it's here to stay as a topic? Like, I feel like I keep seeing the clips and references and people, alumni, and it's just filling the culture references.
I don't want to...
In a bad way. Everyone's like, this sucks.
Yeah, but I don't want to give it too much credit, but I think it's a lot of it has to do with it. It
streaming.
Recently went on Netflix, like the early
kind of fucked up
seasons
so
went on Netflix. And it was like, we made them do what? Like, what did we make these women do? Like, oh my God.
Every meme is like, remember America's Next Model where they made the models like crawl on all fours, like, and eat garbage and then take a photo? Like, remember that? It's like that. Those are the things that did happen on that show.
It's like, remember America's Next Model when they literally had models do blackface? Like, it was like, and it was just on television. I mean, there are certain things that are cyclical discovery. Like every 9 months, this horrible thing will go viral on Twitter again. You know, like America's Next Top Model is definitely one of those things.
That's
but it's been happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's been happening more lately, I think, because of streaming.
I think, though, the remember when America's Next Top Model did blackface thing opens the door to all the other crazy things, too, that they made them do. Do you know what I mean? And so it's like, then once that door is open, now we're just getting a competition of what's the craziest thing you can find from that show, which is, to be fair, there are so many crazy things from that show.
throw right? a rock, hit a crazy right. thing, America's Next Top Model.
And then you have Tyra out here kind of capitalizing off of the memory of the show while also apologizing for the memory of the show. So there's kind mm-hmm. of this weird dynamic where I'm sure she's like, quote unquote, happy that people are talking about the show, but also terrified because it's just one bad thing after another that she did on that show. Mm-hmm. You know,
and she's like, enough about America's Next Top Model. Have you heard of Smize Cream? Because it does have a Smize surprise inside the half pint that is $8 in Santa Monica.
Have you been to Santa Monica to try Smize Cream?
Look, I know what I did 10 years ago on America's Next Top Model is a little problematic, but my Smize Cream is not and is for everyone.
The surprise is that it's not problematic.
Yeah, the surprise is that it's fine.
Speaking of Santa Monica, let's move. Where did this happen? I want to get the exact.
Nikolai Bergman Flowers and Design in Los Angeles, which I think is actually in Hollywood. It's next to Cedar Sinai. Oh, it's in Beverly Hills. Beverly Grove. Sorry. What's the difference?
Not much. Let's move. let's move east of Santa Monica to Nikolai Bergman Flower and Design in Beverly Grove,
Beverly
you
Grove.
Said, or Beverly Hills
Beverly Grove.
Area,
Beverly Grove,
where Entourage star Kevin Connolly, a.k.a. Turtle, you may know him, or Leonardo DiCaprio's good friend, Kevin Connolly, mm-hmm. put the E in eruption. Oh, wait, so he's not Turtle, he's E. Bobby!
Oh, I'm sorry, I called him Turtle, I didn't mean Turtle. Kevin Connolly.
Wait, which is funny because literally TMZ was like telling you who he was. Like, Entourage star Kevin Connolly put the E in eruption. And I'm like, wait, but he's not E. He is
Easy.
E, he's not Turtle.
He's E. Oh, I'm Turtle. Sorry. I confused the Entourage guys.
He put the E in eruption after his car got towed at a flower shop and the stores banning him after the blow up. The manager of Nikolai Bergman Flowers Design in LA tells TMZ there's a podcast. Oh no, there's a podcast studio next to the shop, and they claim Kevin's frequently parked his Tesla in their parking lot, presumably while recording podcasts.
I bet they're pissed.
And they're understandably pissed.
Just
because you have a fucking podcast does not mean you can block our spots.
Exactly.
They left notes on his car. They said, stop stealing our parking. And then they called a tow truck.
And he got pissed off, and he went into the flower shop, and he started getting mad at them.
His Tesla. They took his Tesla to the tow zone.
I would be so... it does seem like this flower company tried their best to not have to call a tow truck on E, you know?
Right.
And he refused to change his attitude.
And apparently they got him throwing a fit on camera, because now TMZ got it. They sent it right to TMZ.
Sorry. I mean, I know LA is cursed top to bottom, left to right, east to west, north to south. But imagine having to drive to essentially Cedar Sinai Hospital to record the podcast and park in a flower shop parking lot.
Well,
like,
I wouldn't. I mean, if I had to tape in a podcast studio in Beverly Grove, I wouldn't take a parking spot. I would be terrified.
It's next to the Ivy. It's next to Georgetown Cupcake, Los Angeles. And really, I mean, it's in the parking lot of Cedar Sinai. That's
he got mad.
That's what we're
they towed his Tesla. It's adding insult to injury. It was a Tesla. They towed the Tesla, and he yelled at them. And they said, "Call the towing company," which is I don't know. I will
Have
say getting towed
ex-slut?
Is to- getting towed is stressful.
I was gonna say
to,
another thing. About
I just
want
to say,
Angeles.
To be fair, I've been towed mm-hmm. in New York too. I've been towed here.
Right. That's the story I was going to tell. One time I was put in charge. You were out of town.
No, that
and
was
my
so bad.
And my job was, can you check on my car? Maybe move my car if I have to move my car. So I had Lindsay's keys. It's fine. And
it was winter, wasn't it?
I think it was a day that I had to move it. So I was like, you were
it
gone.
Wait, you know
was
what
like,
it was?
Okay, I'm gonna
we
go
were
move
on
your car.
Tour. We were on tour and you came back earlier than me. I stayed later than you. I think we were in LA.
That's what it was.
And I was like, okay, I have to go move Lindsay's car. Oh, I'm going to stay late because I'm going to... Oh, I know what it was. I'm staying late because I'm writing this Cosmo cover. It was when I did the Hills cover.
Oh,
but
the Hills, right.
The only
okay.
thing I need okay. you to do is, here are my keys. Can you just go check on my car? Because I don't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't planning on staying this long, so could you just move it?
And it was the scenario that you dread anytime you're put in charge of someone's car, and I guess or your own car.
Uh-oh.
But it's like Lindsay's like it's on the corner of Klassen and Green.
It was across from Clementine Bakery.
It's across from Clementine Bakery, and I was like, well, I know exactly where Clementine Bakery is. I can go check on your car, and I might even get a coffee on the way. And so I go there, and I stop. And I go to Clementine and Green. No, Klassen and Green.
I feel so bad about this still to this day.
And it's one of those things where like. You go to the intersection and then just do like multiple 360s. Like, we're doing 360, we're doing 720, we're doing add 360 to that and keep going because I don't want to keep doing the math. But, like, the car is nowhere to be found. And yeah. I was like, I'm pretty sure the car is gone. And also, like, this is an iconic, like, you wouldn't have said it's across from Clementine Bakery if you had gotten the intersection wrong. You know, like, so I remember all the adjacent intersections. Yeah, it was in front of that weirdo building.
It was a construction thing that I missed.
And it was gone. And I was like, Lindsay, I don't mean to freak you out, but the car is gone. And you're like, did you try that intersection? I was like, Lindsay, I checked every single nearby intersection before calling you and there is no car. And then I just kept pushing the button. And then people definitely saw me on the street because I was like pushing the alarm button, just trying to get it to make a noise. And
what's
it was
funny
nothing.
Is that then that clicker died. And I think it's because I spent so much time trying to find my car that I was just overusing the button, like constantly setting off the button so I could hear where the car was.
Anyway, your car was
fine. We went to it was in the tow lot. If anything, I just paid for some expensive long-term parking.
Where's the tow lot? Dumbo?
No, Navy Yard.
Navy Yard.
The Brooklyn Navy Yard. Okay. True heads know. But well, anyway, you should know where the tow yard is for future reference.
But it was, I think the funniest thing about that was that I was like, in a way, it was sad, but I was also like, ooh, I don't have to move the car.
Oh my God.
The car is gone. The car is gone.
The car was gone.
Hey, Lindsay, I know you're interviewing Heidi and Misha Barton, but your car is gone.
What was good was my thought was like, that sucks, but now I don't have to think about it because it's just in the tow lot and I'll just get it when I get back. And also, like, I'm getting paid for this, so it'll pay for the tow. God. Final story of the day before we get to Rita. Nick Cage got married for the fifth time, baby. He is married. Again.
What's going on in your life now that's really exciting, maybe on a personal level or something?
Well, I think I mentioned that it was very hard for me to see Rico after we all had dinner together at Peter Luger's.
Right.
Because what happened, and she left New York and went back to Kyoto, Japan, and I went back to Nevada, and I haven't seen her for 6 months, and we were really happy together and we're really excited to spend that time together. And so I finally just said, look, I want to marry you. And we got engaged on FaceTime, and we got her a black diamond engagement ring, and because she likes everything, she likes, her favorite color is black. So
Nicolas Cage got married for the fifth time. This is his fifth wedding. It was a woman he's been dating for a while, Riko Shibata, and they've been dating at least a year because there's a photo of them together in February of 2020, like at a pre-COVID
but not
event.
Not that long, because he literally got annulment from his last marriage to that woman, Erica.
Like 2019.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
Yeah. And that was messy and
bad.
He
was married for 4 days. I know, that was a very messy situation.
But this relationship, that was very rushed. This is less rushed.
Sure.
And the way they got married in Vegas, obviously. Lindsay, can you name all of his previous wives?
I know.
Can you name any of the four?
Yes.
Any of the four.
I know he was married to Lisa Marie.
Got it. Okay.
And I know he was married to Patricia Arquette when he was younger.
Got it.
And then I can't remember any of the other women. He was married to when he was like kind of washed up-y.
I'm washed up and a swinging bachelor. Yeah. Then it went from Lisa Marie Presley, because never forget, he was obsessed with Elvis. That's why he married her, because he was like, I'm obsessed with Elvis.
It's like literally, yeah. creepy, my worst, if I was like related to Elvis, my worst fear would be that men like this would come into my life. And yes, he did exactly what the fear would be, which is like, marry her for this like fantasy of like being married to Elvis's daughter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then he married Alice Kim, was a waitress. They had a kid together. They actually had a kid. Their kid is Kal-El, remember? Superman? He's obsessed with Elvis and Superman, which is the most that guy thing to be obsessed with. Then he married Erica Koike, who, that was the one that only lasted like a day.
6 days.
And had an that was like, oh, we were wasted. It didn't count. We were wasted. It didn't count. Now he's married Rico. They've been together for longer. They have a 30-year age gap, which every headline will talk about this, specifically because she's younger than his oldest son, Weston. Mm-hmm. Point is, they're married. They got married in Vegas, and they've been taking handsome cab rides around Central Park.
It's weird to me. They met in Japan. They've spent most of the pandemic in Japan.
In Japan.
Which is what I guess he was on a podcast with his brother. His brother is a podcast? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because he's doing the Tiger King. He came back. I guess he came back to the United States because he's doing The Tiger King show.
Yeah.
TV show, which however you feel about Nick Cage, it's pretty good casting to have him involved in that project. Let's be real. Come on, let's be real.
Yeah, I'm being real.
About Nick Cage. And so since then they've been in the United States. They were in Nevada, therefore got married in Vegas. But then what's crazy to me is the day after the wedding, they flew to New York and got in a carriage ride. That was kind of nuts, right? Mm-hmm.
It's really weird.
It's a little really weird. And the photos and are also kooky. They're kooky.
There is, I gotta say, there is much less awkwardness than there was with his last wife. Like, they do seem to be like very comfortable with each other in the way that he was not comfortable with his last wife. So it's like, okay, there's like
a, well, there was a lot of rumors about their, there were allegations and rumors of like fighting.
Yeah, that they've been fighting. Yeah,
yeah,
but they look chill. It's I think the weirdest thing about the photos is if I saw these photos in 2019, I don't think I would really raise an eyebrow. What's weird is that it's COVID. And this guy's in a Central Park cab ride in some like beautiful multicolored fleece next to his bride in a cowboy hat and boots and no mask. So it just like the normalcy of the kookiness is, I think, what's so strange about it. Like,
if I had to guess whether Nick Cage believes in COVID, the likelihood of him thinking that's a thing is low. Come on. Isn't he also doing a movie where he's playing himself that's supposed to come out like this or next year?
It's like some meta commentary
about Nick Cage that people
You know what it's called? I'm going to find the name of
but
it.
But like,
it's called,
people are liking it. Like, it got a lot of buzz. He's doing the meta thing. He's become, Nick Cage has
the
become
unbearable weight of massive talent. Yeah, the unbearable weight
like,
of massive talent.
Like, he's become such like a meta character in his own like story, his own narrative. Like, he's just, and it's like adaptation. Like, he's just so out of sync. He's too big of a persona or whatever that now he's doing the meta thing where he's playing himself, whatever.
And also he has the vibe that's very Bruce Willis, where it's like, why are you doing so many things? Like, why are you
money.
So busy? And it's
money.
Like, oh, this guy needs money. This guy needs money.
This guy spends money poorly. It's very Johnny Depp. This guy spends like, money on shit. It's like he's buying like Michael Jackson statues that are like $30,000. Michael Jackson owns
castles.
Statues or something. And like grave sites that are like big pyramids. You know, he is out here spending money. And that's why you have the Bruce Willis, or I would say John Cusack, also sheen of why are they doing these movies that are like shitty? Like,
because they need a check.
Right.
They've got bills. They have lifestyles. And I think it's even more interesting than just, oh, they need money, they have bills. It's like, no, it's a refusal to change their lifestyles. It's like a refusal to adapt to not having money. It's like,
it's having a financial planner you straight up ignore calls from.
Yes, that's what it is.
You know,
it's like, oh, Nick Cage could downsize, but guess what? He doesn't want to. That's why he has like 100 credits in the past 2 years. He will just do it all. Like, he just,
it does take a toll on your like career when you do that, because people are kind of like, what happened to this guy? He's so washed up. And it's like, it could reflect nothing to do with Nick Cage. He's doing this terrible stuff. It makes him look like a bad actor, even if he's not necessarily a bad actor, which I don't, I can't speak to the truth on that. I haven't seen any of these things that he's done in the past few years, but I can guarantee you that they suck.
I think he is very frequently a bad actor.
Yeah.
I haven't seen most of these movies that he's released in the past 5 years, but I've seen him be a bad actor in plenty
That's
of
true.
Stuff that came out
That's
when
true.
He was popular. And I've seen him be a great actor in plenty of stuff. So it's like, I think that, but it's very clear that he doesn't care.
He's that
care.
Guy. He can flip it on like a switch. He's not out here giving his best for every single project. So wait, just before we go, Hollywood Life, Bonnie Fuller's Hollywood Life. Now back to Bonnie Fuller, the Bonnie Fuller owned and operated Hollywood Life. I love it. Mm-hmm. International Women's Day. She bought it back. We love it.
Yeah, that's
She's
great.
A CEO. Okay. Says.
What did she say?
Rico Shabata, 5 things to know about Nicolas Cage's fifth wife amid Vegas wedding. And I want to hear the 5 things. Fair warning, they suck. Okay. Number 1, there is a big age difference between Rico and Nicolas. Okay?
That's not a thing. Okay.
Number 2, Rico's wedding dress was a Japanese bridal kimono. Okay, that's number two. That's nice.
That's not a thing to know about her, though. Okay, but go on.
No, it's nothing about her. Nicholas gave Rico a unique engagement ring. Rico and Nicholas met over a year ago. These are not things about her. How can I make this more clear to you, Bonnie?
This is when there are no things about a person. When
they
are so
normie, ready for the next one,
no
you're
going
to lose it. Ready for the next one?
What?
Rico is Nicholas's fifth wife.
No, that doesn't count. None of
That's
these things count.
That's a fact about him, not about her. So that's it. Five things that have nothing to do with him.
No one knows how to do a five things. No one wants to do the work.
Do the work.
It's so frustrating.
Do the work. Anyways.
I'm on this BuzzFeed article called Nicolas Cage Just Got Married in Las Vegas to Rico Shibata. And it's all just photos of him. There are maybe like two photos of him with Rico. The other ones are just Nick Cage.
Well, we have their marriage license on the Daily Mail. At least they did a little work. They got the documents. They got married at the Wynn on the 16th of February. Nice.
They got married at the Wynn? Yeah. They got married at the Wynn?
They got married at the Wynn.
That's also a cursed place, too.
They got married at the Wynn.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Okay, Rita is having the time of her life.
My God.
Somehow.
This woman cannot lose right now. Remember when she was literally weeks ago, we were like, uh-oh, Rita's
Even
Rita's
when she loses. No, she can lose. She doesn't let it do anything to her. She is like Teflon.
I didn't realize that when Rita was asked to headline the gay Sydney Mardi Gras, whatever, this is a huge event. I don't think we even had the scope of it. First of all, I didn't know it was happening like next weekend. I thought it was like in the future. She got booked and then she did it. And it was such a big deal. It was like a huge party and show. And it was all over because people were like, look what's happening in Australia. Kids are going to see Rita Ora perform.
Straight through my heart. You feel like trouble. You ready to party with me? Make some noise, Mardi Gras! Come on! You should have been maybe one that looked fun, but kind of dangerous too.
That's why it was bigger than normal, because it's like a big thing that's happening whilst so much of the world can't do big things, you know?
But it really proves the, like, I would go, right now I'm so willing to go out and do stuff, is that I would go see anyone in, I would go see the drop of a pin live at any stage. I would just do, I would go see anyone. I would see people I had.
I would see anyone.
I would see Halsey headline a wedding to people I don't like. You know, like, it would be, I would do anything.
I'd go see that terrible Lord show again that we went to at Barclays Center. I'd go see that again.
You'll never forget that Lord show. Yeah, it's true.
I would see Julianne
and Derek Hough headline Radio City, and an hour of just interpretive dance I would go see.
I would go see Julianne and Derek Hough just talk to each other on a pair of armchairs at 92nd Street Y. I would see him do anything. You know, like,
I would see Josh Gad do Rent the musical in full at Barclays. Can you one up that?
I would go see James Corden do a one man version of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Just do all, not even a new version. He would just do all the parts. And I would see if like a 5-hour version, because I'd have to watch him change outfits between every fucking line read.
Right.
That's what I'd watch.
I would go see food god Jonathan Cheban do a ribbon cutting ceremony at a Salt Bay spinoff restaurant in the Upper East Side. It's far from me. It's the point.
That one's pretty good.
You got anything else? Is that the worst thing you can imagine?
Hold on, I'm trying to think. What's the worst thing I could imagine that I would see? Hold on, I'm trying to think.
I would
What would I see?
I would go participate in an escape room with Bella Thorne on my team. Oh. In a basement. Oh. In Midtown.
Oh my God. I would go eat hot pot with Jesse Tyler Ferguson at a group dinner for all of his friends.
And you.
Where we all have to split the bill. And then I would be the one. I would be the one. I would go to a group dinner at a hot pot with Jesse Tyler Ferguson and all of his friends where everyone wanted to distribute the bill based on their own purchases.
No!
Where none of them wanted to do it evenly. And then I would be the person, I would be the one who would say, just give me your cards, I'll figure it out. I'll figure out the split. I would do all of that right now. That's how desperate I am to go do things.
That's like a horror movie.
And the server would come. I'd have like six American Express black cards, and then my card up top. And then on the back of the receipt, I'd say, yeah, I wrote down the credit cards and the prices on. Is that okay? Do you mind me doing that? And then the server would say, you know, we don't really like doing this, but I'm a fan of Modern Family. And I'd say, okay, I know. I'm so sorry. That's what I would do.
Okay, so you just, that's fucking worse than Hereditary. You just did that was a horror movie. That was scarier than Hereditary. What you just did was create something scarier than Hereditary. Ari Aster's calling you to get the rights.
A new nightmare from the mind of Ari Aster.
So Rita, okay, the point is that actually Rita Ora is actually a better case scenario than the ones we just provided, in which she was headlining this amazing, huge show. I think half the people here probably don't even give a shit about Rita Ora, but she was the headliner of this show, and she did put on a show. She put on her rainbow flag accessories.
The bar is so low. She did it. She wore some rainbows.
She looked good. Come on. She looked really good.
She always looks good.
Ugh. She looked good. She even like went out on the town wearing like a My Fair Lady hat at LeMay one piece outfit thing. She did a ton of press. She went on Sunrise Today, their Today show. She went on the Jackie O and Kyle show. I know it's Kyle and Jackie O. Kyle and Jackie O show.
You're here. How long are you here for? Do you go back in between and then you come back for live shows?
No, surely not.
I'm staying.
God, quarantine. I'm shit, just man. So... I can't imagine. Was it awful?
It was okay. You know, there's pros and cons. I'm very grateful to just work. You know, it's just been such a hard time for so many people. It's lovely to be able to come here and just find great talent from Australia.
Yeah.
When you're in quarantine, being a celebrity, do they give you a lover for the fortnight, or are you there all by yourself?
I don't think anyone asked her shady shit, although I'll take a look. There was one moment they called awkward, but it's not awkward. She went on The Tonight Show and did Bang Bang a few weeks ago. She got a DM from a hunky tennis pro when she landed in Australia. She is riding high.
It's just, she's having the time of her life. We got to make nonstick pans out of like Rita Ora because nothing sticks to this woman.
And she is carcinogenic.
No, she's not carcinogenic. She's not carcinogenic.
Okay, fine. You don't throw Teflon out there like that casually.
The new millennial pan will be made of Rita Ora, you know, like the new Instagram
the
millennial
girl
pan.
Bounces back.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. We'll be back on Friday with another episode of Who's There, our question and our call-in show. So call in with questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for twice weekly bonus episodes. We're talking about Meghan and Harry on the Wednesday episode and whatever your VIP calls are over the weekend. Rate, review us on Apple Podcasts, please. Thank you to Katie and Eric for our Rita theme song. And have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
You or Jayla?
Yo, 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 they wanna know.